Before we open God's word, let us pray. Our merciful and gracious Father who art in heaven, Lord, we come before thee, and thy word is before us. And even as we have sung, we have come together, Lord, to open thy word, to read, to meditate. In thy word, thou hast spoken to us of thy great salvation. Thou hast invited us into a loving fellowship in Christ Jesus. And we thank thee for these blessings. We thank thee, Lord, that thy word is the power that can change our hearts, that can bring us joy and peace in this chaotic and confused world. So we're grateful for the opportunity to come together in quietness and peace, to reflect on thee and eternity. We pray that thou would bless thy word, that we would be able to receive thy instruction, and that thou would be present with us as we fellowship and thy word draws us together into the love of Christ. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like, with the Lord's help, to read from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and read from chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law. And if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. May the Lord bless the reading of this end of the book of Deuteronomy. Is the end of the journey of the children of Israel and Moses as they journeyed from the land of Egypt, where they were in bondage, to now they are at the border of the promised land. Moses will not enter, but he will send the people on with Joshua. And the Lord inspires him to share a message with them, to share one last command and a heartfelt desire. To give them some direction in this new path that they're going on, and to aid them. He tells them about blessings and cursings that will come to them if they heed the warnings and the commands of the Lord. The Lord in this Old Testament promises blessings. And if they turn away from him, if their hearts wander far, then there's cursings. And specifically for the children of Israel, they were promised that if they would depart from the Lord, that the Lord would scatter them. He would scatter them throughout all of the world. And so Moses is reflecting on this, these promises, and he's telling them when that comes to pass, when that happens, you're going to look back. And you're going to think about it a little bit deeper. And you're going to wonder, which way should I turn? And where can I go? And the message is so clear. Moses' heart, and the heart of the Word, the heart of Jesus Christ, and the message of the Scripture beckons to mankind. Go to the Lord. Return to Him. With all your heart and with all your soul. There is mercy with the Lord. Outside of the Lord, there's darkness. And there's hopelessness. But the message of hope, the message of truth, the message that Moses longs to impress deeply upon those who he's speaking to, is that with the Lord there is mercy. That's where you will find mercy. That's where you will find peace. And he says to them, when you return to the Lord and obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, you and your family, you and the one who you're responsible for guiding, you and your parents that you should honor with all your heart and with all your soul. And I can imagine Moses, and maybe you can picture him. He's speaking to the people, and he's an old man. Perhaps he looks out and he sees the elders, the leaders of the people. He sees the fathers and the mothers. And he sees the children. And he knows he's sending off the next generation, those who are going to follow behind. And he doesn't want them to forget the goodness of the Lord. He doesn't want them to forget the idea that the Lord is calling each and every one to devote all of the heart, all of the soul, and to love the Lord with all of our being. It's a simple, simple call. And Moses declares the word of the Lord a promise that if they would do this, that the Lord will turn thy captivity, or he will return them from where he has scattered them. He will deliver them from captivity. He will deliver them from bondage and have compassion on thee, he says, and will gather them together. And he goes to great lengths to do it. When we go to get something, we often look for the closest opportunity to find it. We look to find a store that has the thing that we're looking for, and we see if it's in stock, and if it's a little bit closer for convenience, we would go there, rather than be burdened to go a little bit farther out of our way. And I don't know how you feel about how far away you are from the Lord. But to God's children, he says, if any of thine be driven out from the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. as a shepherd, like we heard a few weeks ago, seeking his own, seeking the lost sheep, having compassion on us, his creation. He's willing to deliver us. He's willing to show mercy when we return to him. He promises that he will bring them back into the land which thy fathers possessed, the heritage, so that they could possess it. Not so that it would be far away from them, but that they would own it, that they would hold it dear, that they would possess it, that they would grab hold of that promise and that inheritance. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. He says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. The Lord had given the sign of circumcision unto Abraham and to the children of Israel as a mark of their belonging to him. But here it says that that will be applied to the heart. And the purpose of that is that they would love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. The Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and upon them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. He will help them and give them something to be occupied with, something valuable and useful for their life as they serve the Lord back in this land. He says, the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work. There's an abundance of these physical blessings that are promised to the children of Israel in this old covenant. And it's going to be for good. So often physical blessings can turn to be a snare to man's heart. But the blessings of God are to be received with thanksgiving and to be used appropriately, and then they are for our good. And they are to be shared to help others. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. There was a great admiration and esteem for the fathers of the faith, for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob. And it is a tendency of mankind to look back to the past, to wonder at those golden years, as it were, and to long for them. But here he's saying that the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. That same faith that was required for Abraham is the same basis of faith for us today. And the Lord is extending this hope of reconciliation, this hope of fellowship to the people again. And when the people return after they had gone astray, maybe generations passed, and it was their forefathers that had left. No matter how far the distance or the time that had passed, there is some hesitancy. There is some measure of, it's uncomfortable to return back to the one that you hurt. A lot of times when we go back to someone that we've hurt, that we've wronged, we wonder, what do they think? How is the relationship? Is it really all better? The relationship is described here between God and those who would be close to him, that he rejoices. He rejoices over each sinner that repents. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ as well. That is the longing of God, to have us close so that we can partake of his goodness, partake of his mercy, that he can take care of us and rejoice over us in love. And then Moses says again, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, keep your ears open to hear what the Lord is saying. It would be surprising to us to think of this people that had gone far from the Lord and been scattered and judged. And even in the previous chapter, it talks about how the nations of the world are going to wonder what happened that these people were judged so severely. The Lord scattered them. But it's a wonder to know that the Lord is still seeking. The Lord is still calling. And the word says, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. This passage of the Old Testament reminds us of the mercy of God. Teaches us who God is, his love and compassion. And the means through which he shares this is through this word. But as we have read recently, we have a sure word of prophecy. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have his teachings. We have his love on display upon the cross of Calvary. And we look to him in faith for the fulfillment of these promises. And we think about these blessings, and it's a joyful thing. And yet, in the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessings which we are to inherit, not necessarily the land, but the spiritual blessings, that spiritual nature, the fruit of the Spirit, is for us now who are in the covenant of Jesus Christ and his precious blood. And there are some connections between what Moses speaks of here and what we read in the New Testament. Go back to verse 6, speaking of the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul that thou mayest live. That's spoken about in the New Testament in the book of Colossians. I believe it's chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Maybe beginning with verse 8, we read, Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So this is the challenge that was in front of the Israelites. Would they choose life? Would they choose the commands of God and his ways? Or would they choose death and the pleasures of sin for a season? Would they be persuaded by the philosophies and the false religions of their day and the vain deceit, the traditions of men, and the basic things, the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ? For in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What great fullness of all the promises that are in Christ, yea and amen, and how small everything else compares. And he says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. And then Paul elaborates on what that circumcision made without hands, what it is doing away with. In the Old Testament, it was a doing away with the flesh. But here it says, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The circumcision of Christ is the putting away of the body of sins, all those sins and the guilt and the shame that get stored up and that get carried upon us. Christ has offered a way of redemption and to deliver us from that captivity. And this is that circumcision of the heart, that those things would be done away, that those things would be put away, through forgiveness, that they would be purged. And he would give us the hope of a new life. This is the circumcision that's spoken of. This is the operation of God that he is doing. And it also says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Lord, our Savior, is the one who has triumphed. He's triumphed over the grave. He's triumphed over sin. And he calls us to be with him. And we see that in the figure of baptism, to go down into the watery grave and identify with Christ, and to come up and to rise up as a new creature, to be a partaker of his victory, to receive that forgiveness of sins. He's calling us with all of our heart, with all of our soul, to be completely immersed in him, so that we can share in his path and that we can share also in that heavenly home that we long to be a part of. These verses 11 through 14 are also probably familiar to us, for they're recorded in the New Testament as well, where Moses is explaining to them and illustrating them with these beautiful pictures of this word, this command that I'm giving to you. It's not far away. You don't have to go to the expanses of heaven or across the seas to find it. It's very close to you. And as you reflect upon the blessings and the cursings of life, and the justice of God, and how life is working, and how you are seeing the consequences of sowing and reaping, the truth of God becomes self-evident. That there's no salvation apart from being in Christ and in unity with him, with all of our soul and all of our heart. There's no substitution of a certain set of rules or laws that can make up for that. And it is a very simple gospel message of giving our all to the Lord and Him providing all for us. It's not far from you. And it's recorded in Romans, where Apostle Paul speaks of this and almost quotes it verbatim, but he doesn't speak about it in terms of a law being close to you, though maybe similar to a law. But he says that he applies this to the word of faith which we preach. He says in Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." This is the word that's near us. The word of faith. The word of salvation. The word of Jesus Christ. It's given for us to call us back to the heart of God, to a close fellowship with Him, to find His mercy, and to find His peace. Thanks be to the Lord for His message of the Word that so patiently and consistently and with a yearning heart longs for each and every generation to know His fellowship through Christ Jesus. May God bless His word. Amen.
The easiest decision to make is yet the most difficult. Adam and Eve were given blessings, or they were given a curse. They could choose. And we know they chose the curse and death over life and blessings. And I know when we look at and read that account, it almost seems unbelievable that a man in the very presence of God who has him would choose death and a curse over life and a blessing. And God is tonight reminding us that the same decision is being made by us today. We have life or death. Who would choose death, as was mentioned in the prayer? Who would do that? And yet, mankind does. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't follow any logic at all. And yet, the easiest decision is the most difficult because of pride, self, seeking to please self rather than serve God. And we make the most horrible decisions in life. Curses follow us because a life apart from God is a life of cursings and death. And a life with God is blessings and life. And we sang the hymn, not for heaven. I'm not asking for heaven. I'm not asking for earth. But Christ alone. Christ alone. Oh, that he to me were given, whom above all else I would own. So if I had Christ, I would have him above all else. There's nothing that I would want more than Christ, because that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for anything else. And that's what we read here. Love the Lord thy God with all of thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. It says, For with him as my heart's treasure, there's nothing else that can give me a greater pleasure. For my Savior Christ shall be ever all in all to me. He has to be all. He has to be all, or he is nothing at all. And so again, we're presented with a decision or a choice. Life, blessings, death, and cursings. It's our choice to make. God gave that to Israel. He gave it to Adam and Eve. He gives it to you and me today. And so he's asking us to choose wisely. This is his desire for us. May he bless his word this evening on our hearts. Amen.